Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. This is the conclusion to episode 219. This is part two to Divine Thoughts. Today is Sunday, November 6th, 2011.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime, no help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime, no help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, you can come to Pastor Paul's Club Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. Bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail with your address. Verify your household members with either medical cards or social security cards. Come between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. Bring extra bags to carry other food that's available, and that food is generally produce, dairy products, baked goods, and some canned goods. If you want to purchase extra food from Pastor Paul, bring dollar bills. Do not bring anything larger than a 5. If you need more information about Pastor Paul's club and how to register your household for monthly groceries, directions to Pastor Paul's, call 612-521-4665, prompt 1. Now, this is the month of November, my favorite month. Well, every month is a good month for me. But I love Thanksgiving. I love turkey dressing, mashed potatoes and gravy, homemade cranberries, sweet potatoes, green beans, you know, just all the traditional Thanksgiving foods. Gotta have it. Gotta have it. Did I mention scalloped corn? I can hardly wait. So, there again, if you need food, come on to Pastor Paul's. We've got lots of food as well. The month of November, our transitional month, we go from a nice summer to cold winter, Thanksgiving, holidays around the corner, all kinds of things happening. Well, here's what's happening on the podcast. Jot these down. The messages, divine thoughts, the scent sends, the invisible people, poverty. This is going to be a good month. Be back here every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. And if you're not here, You're not all there? Is that how it goes? Thanks for coming to the podcast. I love the podcast. I am so thankful for this podcast. And I hope you are. Have a great month. God bless you.
Truly, God is no respecter of persons. I mean, if it be right to punish sin at all, it must be right to do so in every case, no matter what. Someone takes $1 million or a penny. See, because we're talking about sin. We're not talking about how much a penny's worth or $1 million worth. It doesn't make any difference. Only stole a penny. Man, it's so mad. Only a penny. No, it's the thought. It's the thinking behind that. And that's because you only stole a penny because $1 million wasn't available. And then suffering sin to go unpunished in one case would be sort of a confession that the penalty was too severe. And so therefore the great ruler cannot suffer sin to go unpunished, no matter how small. God acts the same in every situation if it's sin. See, because if God forgave sin without a penalty, he would no longer, let's say, be equally resplendent in every attribute. Because mercy would eclipse justice. There would be no justice. Don't you like to see justice done? Sure you do. Let me stop here and say, thank you, Jesus, for the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, and how we need to get back to praising the Lord and allowing Him to have His will. See, because we get into our own thinking, and there's so much of that going on right now, isn't there? People having their own thoughts and their own thinking. So much of it. So much sickness and so much decay out there. And people on TV. There's someone out there. Someone that has this wrong. And a word of knowledge goes out. And there's poor, sick people, lonesome people all over. They'll claim to anything. Do you know there's people that turn themselves in for murder and they never even did it? For attention. Oh, no, I know I stuck my foot into it because there's so many people that... Man, they think they're so knowledgeable and they're so, hey, you know, come on now. How many know that they over-exercise that gift? Then the phone will ring and they'll say, guess what? And then, you know, keep them cards and letters coming, folks. Telethons. That makes me sick because there's people all over. And you know why it makes me sick? I'll tell you why it makes me sick. We've been here 7 years. Now, I've yet to see anybody really in the body of Christ come to the aid of this ministry. It's just like it's non-existent. Or any food feeding ministry. Would you say that was sin? Look at all that food. Right now, out here, in this, we're so loaded down with food, we got 2.5 tons. We'll have 2.5 tons of melons for tomorrow. Corn on the cob. 20,000 pounds of cucumbers. Well, how about it? God took care of it anyway, didn't He? That's what we are, is a food ministry. That's God's thought about it. Don't look to people, look to me. That's God's thinking. And you know where the food comes through? through people. But also, Lord, you know my heart. Search it. Oh, God, reveal. Help me to change. God has given me something to give. Forgiveness. How about you? That doesn't mean you have to wrap your arms around people. You know what I mean? And just all be together in one great big forgiving group. One big glob, huh? That wouldn't be realistic. You forgive. Sometimes you don't make it with people. Sometimes you don't. God separates different people, okay? Because they can't make it. But there's forgiveness there. See, I'm talking about the spirit of forgiveness, not, I'm sorry, how about you? No. Kissy, kiss, kiss, huh? I'm not talking about that. I mean, you're not supposed to kiss? Well, go ahead. It's all right. Now I'm talking about a spiritual forgiveness. And let us all remember, God never, ever changes. Isn't that great? Isn't there a song, Unforgettable? That's what you are. Unforgettable. That's what you are. Unforgettable. Huh? How near, how far? Huh? Oh, my darling, you're so unforgettable. Well, that's the way they sing that song, really. With their own thinking. I know there's rulers on earth and they exercise mercy. A sovereignty with mercy which forgets justice. Totally forgets it. Can have terrible wars. And then we build cars for each other. Now we're ready to have a war because they're building more cars than we are. Well, this is because of the imperfections of the laws which they administer. Or let's say because they are imperfect governors. But doesn't our God reign as the perfect governor over all? Administering perfect laws with mercy and justice and love and forgiveness and all that. Consequences. He never allows exceptions. Or does other than is right. He never changes. You can count on it. Oh, wouldn't the foundations change if he changed? No, God will never forgive you without penalty. And so I say, if someone's done something against you, keep your mouth shut. Shut up! You're going to just reap back yourself. Your thoughts are not his thoughts. Oh, isn't there a lot of thoughts we dare not put word to? How many thoughts did you have today that you could not openly say? Now you're thinking about your thinking, and you know your thinking is stinking. Huh? Maybe it's some good-looking girl that went down the street or something like that. Or maybe it was Mr. Macho with the thick, curly hair and rolls of hair coming out and chains all over, you know, hanging down. And huh? Maybe it even happened in church. Aren't you glad that God doesn't change? Maybe some of you listening have a notion that God may forgive them by putting them through some kind of an affliction. Okay, Lord. Go ahead, chop both my arms off. That's what it'll take for you to forgive me. Go ahead. Or maybe you think the poor or sick or mentally sick or other afflictions are a sure ticket to heaven. No, it's how you react in a trial. It's how you react in a trial. What do you do in a trial? Lord, lead us not into temptation. You can be led into temptation. God doesn't do it. You're led into it. He doesn't tempt you, but you're led into it. You're allowed into it. And it's how you react. That's what's going to be the outcome of that thing. That's where you reap rewards, is how you react in a trial. Well, the rich have trials too, don't they? Everybody trying to get their money. And so rich or poor, sick or well, Your particular suffering can atone for sin. Well, a guy called me up and he says, well, you know, he talks sort of like this. I really believe I've been a good man. And when my time comes, I'm very, very sure God will receive my life and say, pardoned. I really believe that. Well, I said, the word doesn't say that. And I couldn't change his mind. You are a sinner. Now that just turned him on all the more. You can't make it to heaven on your own merit. And that really turned him on. Until I kept beating this thing down and he just got so mean and so cantankerous on the phone that he had to admit there was something wrong with the guy. See, you're reacting right now. This is a trial for you. Me telling you that you aren't going to make it on your own merit. Now, I've even been ministering to people I'll go ahead and I'll say, Lord, I'm sorry. Well, I mean, don't ever look forward to a deathbed confession. You may not mean it. This is a snare of Satan. And let me tell you one thing, there is no purgatory. I've seen a show here not too long ago. You know what a purgatory was in this show? It was a bar. And everybody was in this bar. It was sort of filmy smoke in there, you know, and everybody was in this bar. And they were kind of, hi, Joe, hi, Fred. And they were all waiting. And they were in purgatory. That might be a stopping off point before you go to hell. There's no stop. There's no stopping off on the way to heaven. You just go or you don't go. No, you You must receive and believe on Jesus and His blood right now. And why are you ministering this way? Because there's a whole lot of things coming out, and people will grab a hold of it. It'll be another gospel. There's going to be a whole group, a trench full, a pit full of seducing spirits that are going to come forth on this planet. God is going to loose them from the pit, and they're going to come with these profound little stories and so on and get to people's fancy, see? Well, it wouldn't be so bad. I wouldn't mind going to hell. There's a bar down there, and there's all kinds of folks down there. All my friends will be down there. Well, I don't know what they'll be doing, shoveling coal or something. I wouldn't want to be down there. See, hell is living without God. No, there's no stopping off place. There's no place where you can stop off and take a spiritual shower before entering heaven. You can't bathe with Life Boy in this purgatory and make it. See, God doesn't forgive your past and then say, now do better in the future. You see, because you can't do better in the future. Have you ever tried to do better in the future? Tomorrow, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I will be a better person. Positive thinking. Positive confession. How many know it doesn't work? It's all by the grace of God. You can't take credit. And there's a lot of that out there, and it is another gospel. And people just get weird. Let me tell you, they just get weird. They get weird, 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 weird. Now you see, the forgiveness which is given to a sinner reaches to the sins that he has not yet committed as well as the sins that he's already done. Well, you're just giving people license to sin. No, I'm telling you the truth. That is the relaxing of your own strife and stretch and strain to know that your sins, plural, are forgiven. Now it takes the legalism out of it, and it takes the motivation out of it, and it takes the wanting to out of it, because you know they're all forgiven. It's no big deal. It's kind of like when I went to work in my dad's cafe, I was about 9 years old, and all the kids said, oh, now you get all the ice cream and cake you want. Boy, I'd like to work there. I was in there for 1 week, and I never wanted to touch another piece of pie or cake. As long as I lived, because it was free. See, sin no longer has a hold on you, because it's already forgiven. Now it's no big deal. No, Jesus doesn't forgive part. He forgives the whole. He says, I absolve you. None shall lay anything to your charge. Paid in full. Don't you think we ought to preach the gospel like we're preaching here tonight? There is so much shim sham going on. But yeah, nothing to your charge, not only for now, but for the future too. It's a clean sweep of forgiveness of all sin. And since all sin, the sin of all believers is present sin in the sight of God. It's all present. Though it is not present sin to them. It's present sin to Him. It's all forgiven. It's a present thing to Him, see? Omnipresent. And so if the Lord forgives you all, dear sinner, it will not be punished on you. He has punished it on Christ Jesus. It's an unconditional forgiveness. He will not forgive you on conditions. See, it's simple. I have blotted out all thy sins like a cloud, and like a thick cloud, thine iniquities. And all this he can do in a moment. Did you know here in this end time, in one day, people that have never ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you know, so many hardened hearts that have heard the gospel on the radio and they've been to meetings and all over and like that. In one day, it says, in one day, they're going to hear the gospel message and they're going to come running to Jesus. In one day, he's going to work a miracle in one day. It's got to be a miracle because there's very few that are preaching the gospel. They're preaching a brand of the gospel, but not the gospel. It's not simple. It's conditional. It's either conditional or it's positive thinking or it's, a hyped up type of thing. No suffering involved at all. Sort of like a sales seminar. Try to sell you on an idea. And then you have to pay for that idea with tapes. And I get such a kick out of these people. They have a tape from the Word of God, and they got all this from the Word of God, and they'll charge you $50 for four tapes. How many are hearing this? Well, I have a friend that gave away two songs to this ministry. And all the proceeds are going to go to this church. I think that's beautiful, and I know it's of the Lord. But all this he can do in a moment before another minute passes. That soul has trusted my dear son. Now I have made him whiter than snow. And whiter than snow he shall always be in the sight of time and in eternity. He'll always be white before me. I have cast all of his sins behind my back. I have covered him with a robe of righteousness. He is mine now, and he shall be mine in the day when I make up my jewels. He'll be mine forever. No one shall snatch him out of the Father's hand. And so here is my pardon given to you. You couldn't earn it. Jesus bought it for you. He brings it to you now. You listening on the radio, receive the free gift of forgiveness right now. And so in conclusion, let's talk about the present possession of this pardon. I think there's an idea in many of the people here listening to me that pardoned on the spot is too simple. You want a plan which involves a host of Latin and Greek ornaments and garments, altars and mummeries and prayers and hymns and baptisms and confirmations and confessions and communion and penance and walking on your knees until they bleed and martins and vespers and festivals and I don't know what. But the gospel is real simple. It's a foundation that we have to build on. Trust in Jesus and live. Believe on Christ and you are saved. Well, I hear someone saying, it's too simple. You're thinking that right now to be safe. Too simple to be safe. Too simple. Well, I know as a fact in my own life that the simplest remedies are the most potent and safe. And the simplest rules in mechanics are those which the greatest engineers construct their most wonderful erections. A simple foundation. You dig a hole and you put a firm foundation. That's how you start it. It's simple. See, the moment you get into complexity, you get into a snarl. I think then you're on the very brink of weakness when you start to make things complicated. You ever been around somebody that tries to complicate things? Oh man, don't you just dig a hole here and pour some cement into it? Yeah, well, you make it sound pretty simple. Yeah, there's a little more to it than that, Jack. What? Have you read my book on it? Doesn't sound like it to me. Did you hear what he said? Dig a hole and put some cement down in there. That's exactly what they're going to do. They ever been around someone like that? They like to complicate everything. Guy says, "Well, how do you go about, getting bread?" I says, "You go in and beg for it. Let me show you." "Well, there's more to it than that. Certainly, you gotta do this. You gotta do that. You gotta have a letter of entry or something." "No," I said, "watch, sir. I'm so-and-so from the Disciples Ministry Church Mission, so on, blah, 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 blah. And would you think about this? I'll come in tomorrow for your answer. We're collecting bread in this area, and if you have any kind of bread or pastries or whatever like that, you know, I know you're busy right now, but I'll come in tomorrow. When aren't you so busy?" "Oh, okay. Was that simple? More simple to ask. I don't know what his answer is going to be tomorrow. But you have to ask, don't you? That's the first step. Why do people have to complicate everything and think down the line of everything that might happen? Gee, I hate it. It's like a salesman. My first sales job, I knocked on the door. Just a couple little weak taps. Oops, nobody's home. I'd already right in my mind, I had complicated it. No, you don't want to get your foot out of the door before I bust it, Buster. You don't know that. You don't know what tomorrow is going to be. It might be a good surprise, Paul. How about a good surprise? How about trying not to dictate to me what a surprise is? Good or bad? Is that all you're going to stand if you just have all good surprises? Surprise! Huh? Oh, simplicity. How solid it is. Come as little children. Simple. The Lord spoke to me, and it was several years ago, and I was trying to get complicated and spiritual and all this, and I was watching all these other, getting into all this, reading all these books and everything. I was trying to mystify, getting out there. And the Lord spoke to me right in the middle of that spiritual self-attack. I wore myself out, tried to be spiritual. Said, "Keep it simple, stupid." More and more engineers are returning to simplicity. Don't you wish your cars sometimes were more simple? Now they have these idiot lights on them that don't work. Don't you wish they would put real metal underneath those things? Real steel down there? I was talking to a guy. He says, "You know, these foreign cars, you go to pick them up on the trucks and they fold." And then they said they even made one that when it had a collision, it would go into the shape of a tent so you could be sitting in there and be all right. But he says after 6 months, the other parts started to deteriorate because it's such cheap metal. And when you hit something, the whole thing falls apart. The pyramids all over the place. There's no place you can go in that car without coming out with a pointed head. I mean, you know? And he says, if people knew how they had to, they go ahead and compliment the car, and it isn't simple anymore. They got the fenders here, and they add this, and they add that, and it is junk. They spend $15,000 because so they want to save a little bit on gas. And he said, I know junkyards that are full of these cars, made in Japan, made in Sweden, made here, made there, because people after a while they can't afford them. The frame goes on the thing. The car looks perfectly, you know, beautiful and everything, but if you go to buy a shock absorber for it or something, they call them truss assemblies or something. It isn't a shock absorber. It's sort of a different kind of a name, suspension rod thrust bearing or something like that, see? $400. You can go down here to Sears and buy one on sale down there, $44 for an American car, all four of them put in on special, see? On some dog that probably burns maybe, 4 or 5 gallons more gas. Well, you're driving around in a piece of junk. Because we didn't keep it simple. We started to cheat each other with the metal. You can take a wrench and go underneath some of those cars, a good-sized pipe wrench, and bend the whole frame. But anyway, now as in nature, simplicity is strength. Weren't your parents simple when you, not mean simple-minded, but weren't they simple in treating you? Did something wrong, they kept it simple. My folks kept it simple. Now they complicate everything, don't they? Well, Junior, according to the doctor here, and he speaks with authority here, Doctor whatever, and you see, and here's a kid 2 years old, and you complicate the whole thing. Instead of saying, don't do that again, or mommy is going to spank. You know what that means, spank? Uh-huh. Right? Isn't that simple? Don't you wish people would be simple with their kids when they come over to your house? Huh? And they got peanut butter and jam all over their hands, and they go over to your walls, and they look around. They know they're doing wrong. They look around. And they draw their hands back and see if you have a reaction. And so you're trying to act real sweet like nothing's wrong. And then the mother complicates it. Junior, is it washable? Give me a rag. Now you clean that off the wall. Keep it simple. Give the kid a spanking. Bring joy to the person's heart. Right? We complicate everything. See, simplicity. Someone's hungry, feed them! Isn't that simple? I want to ask him a lot of questions. Oh, where were you born? Mm-hmm. How old are you? How long since you worked? Guy's all sunken in, see? Huh? If your brother's hungry, feed him. Well, and the food rots while you're trying to make up your mind. There's tons of it all over, rotting in caves now, because we can't make up our mind. Should we give it to him or not? Half of the food they have right now, I can think, thinking creatively, the food that they have stored in caves right now, you know what they could use it for? Penicillin. Got all that mold on it, see? How many are hearing this message? And I'm closing it. Keep it simple. And let me say this, as simple as it looks, trust Christ and live. Isn't that strong? Trust me, says the Lord, and live. It's simple, isn't it? Well, exactly what do you mean by that? Trust me and live. We want to get philosophical about it, see. Put a few rules on it. No, I'd rather have a sort of a gospel where I could get philosophical. No, see, faith is the mainspring of the entire man. And when faith is right, then the power is right. And see, we try to take the power over and we try to say, we know what God's will is. No, thy will be done. And when we say that and we give the power back to God, then our faith is right. Because it's his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness imparted to us that we just receive. We don't define it. We just receive it. We don't get philosophical over it. We just simply, in simplicity, receive it and say, yes, Lord. See, teaching man morals is a clock that won't work. Have you ever tried to make somebody moral? Have you ever tried to make your child moral? Don't pull doggy's tail. See, trust in Jesus is the mainspring. Listen, let me close it. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Oh, I hear someone saying, oh, it's too good to be true. Hey, our God is both good and he is true. He's made it simple for you. In fact, if someone tells me something about God that's complicated, I know it's untrue. See, it's just like my good God to forgive anybody, anything, anytime. Like the prodigal son, he receives us. No, you say, it's too swift to be sure. I could understand going through 10 years of doubts. But these get well instantly medicines, I doubt it. Why is it so hard for some? Because they got hard hearts. But no matter, the Holy Ghost can break hard hearts, can he? Yeah, he can. He can plow that ground up. We got to say this before I leave here tonight. May God pump all self-sufficiency from you diehards. And you know what? He will. Because we'll pray that way. Why don't you listening on the radio right now, come to know Jesus right now. Just admit you're a sinner and come to know him. Because there is no sinner that's beyond saving. And there's no sin that's beyond forgiving. So why don't you just simply come? Isn't that a message that needs to be preached over and over and over? And there's a lot of shim-sham going on and nobody wants to preach it. Oh, it's too simple, but oh, hey, the simplicity of it holds up the whole foundation of the whole Bible. Forgiveness. The whole Word of God is, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It starts out with giving and now we're in the gospel of get. We lose the message. No, it's giving your life. And you as Christians, you give your life. And you're so willing to give ourselves vacations and give ourselves this and give. How about giving your life? How about wonderfully giving your life? And what a miserable thing it is when you try to hold on to any of it anyway. Give your life to God. You won't be satisfied. Someone tries to take you away from giving yourself and your life to God, say, hey, no competing, no competition. I've given my life to God. And good riddance. Is there anyone in here tonight that doesn't know Jesus, that is, as your personal Savior? Anybody?
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 219. That was part two of Divine Thoughts. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, and there you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes, and within those show notes are scripture links that Pastor Paul uses those scriptures within his message. So be sure to go to those links and do a little Bible study on your own. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. If you have any questions, suggestions, or testimonies, you can always leave those at Pastor Paul's blog. Thanks for joining the podcast, and be sure to join us next Friday. The message is, the scent sends. God bless you, and have a great week.
Get ready, you got to move.